Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow. Don't miss a second of the action. Subscribe now to the OTB AM podcast to get it every weekday morning in your podcast feed from 10 a.m.
But we've GAA to talk, and I'm delighted to say that Louise Galvin, former Kerry footballer, joins us on the line. Morning to you, Louise.
Morning, how are you?
Good, good, thanks. What a weekend of football we have ahead. Now, having said all that, between the Munster final, the Ulster final and the Leinster final, I'm not sure how tight any of them are going to be. Which one of them are you expecting to be closest?
If I had to pick an upset, I think it'll be the Munster final. Just hearing the news there that Sean Powter might be out for Cork, so I think he's going to be a huge loss. And just I think there's a few elements of that game that could make it a bit tighter compared to the Ulster and the Leinster final.
Yeah, like you've both teams coming into it on the basis of having a bit of heroics, obviously, last day out. And you can make the case that maybe Cork were lucky in the end against Kerry, but I mean, they obviously had to contrive that opportunity and get it done. But it is the sort of thing that, like, I think that when you weigh up the pieces of each team, then on paper, certainly it looks like Cork should get it done.
Yeah, on paper, I think it does look like that. But just a few little things, like Cork, I said before, on off the ball before, the Cork-Kerry game, like, huge motivation for them would have been, I think, anyway, knocking Kerry out of the championship, particularly in, when it is straight knockout. So they need to obviously park that now. They would have been on a huge high after that game. You need to be able to come down off that, resettle, regather everything and refocus again towards Tipperary. And even with the Hurlers not being knocked out last weekend, like, Cork footballers don't get a lot of attention at home in their own county. I'm sure in the last week or two they would have been getting a lot more. And if a lot of that talk was still looking back at Kerry instead of looking forward towards Tip, you know, maybe their mindset isn't exactly in the 100% perfect place. Now, I know Ronan McCarthy is a shrewd manager. He would have been absolutely trying to prepare them mentally as well as physically. But they really needed to come down off that high from that last gasp winner against Kerry. And he focus right now, Tip, I'm sure, a lick of their lips. I think another added element, and it's something I didn't think wouldn't have been as big until I watched the documentary there. It was a Sunday night, and Monday night was the Bloody Sunday effect on the Tip team. And I mean, they haven't won a Munster final since 1935. They've lost, I think, 7 finals. Imagine for those players the motivation that, and the centenary year, and wearing those commemorative jerseys. What a way to honour their team and to honour Michael Hogan than to win a Munster final for the first time since 1935. Now, I know it all comes down to all the players on the field playing, but sometimes it's those little nuggets, those little extra pieces of motivation that if Cork aren't fully on the ball, if they aren't as committed, fighting as hard, that Tip, if they stay in the game, well, it could be Tip having a bit of daylight robbery at the end of it all. And look, they know they can get the beating of Cork. Obviously, their fortunes in Division 3 are a bit differently this year, but one of Tip's best performances in the league was actually playing against Cork. They beat them in 2018 down in Porky Creeve in the league. They beat them in championship as recent as 2016. If they're stuck in it coming out of that last water break, listen, I wouldn't write them off.
Yeah. And I think, go on, yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say that this is one of the more underrated storylines or potential storylines of 2020, this Tip storyline. Like, you mentioned it yourself there, they've beaten them in 2016. They're operating or have been operating at a similar level in the National League. Like, very rarely do you have a real opportunity for whatever it is, a drought since 1935 to end in this fashion at the weekend. Like, usually a drought since 1935 takes a hell of a lot of fortune or misfortune for people. There's a real chance for Tip to go out and win this. And I feel that sometimes this has been lost over the last couple of weeks. There was a real opportunity for history.
Yeah, I think an interesting thing as well, Owen, was David Power. One comment he had is that, you know, Tipcombe, I think we all know they've excellent footballers within their squad. But he says they tend to play at the level of the opposition, which is a very interesting comment for a manager. But that also means he's no fear of them stepping up to that intensity or that level that Cork will be looking to bring in Munster final day. It also means they've just absolutely no fear of playing them. And I just worry a little bit, like before the Cork-Kerry game, I thought the fact that Cork had a few of their under-20s in who are used to winning, used to beating Kerry, they have that kind of almost naive confidence, which obviously worked out for them. That's a positive thing. But now on the other side of it, do they have that maturity and that experience to come down off that win and completely almost shelve it, park it, also learn from their mistakes? Because look, that wasn't a brilliant performance. It was absolutely incredibly dogged. They showed incredible fight spirit and no little skill as well to rescue it in normal time and obviously in extra time. But it wasn't a brilliant performance. So are they looking back on the mistakes to actually go out and put in a big performance? And I mean, they should be looking to win and put up a really good performance against Tip and actually push on and maybe win by 6 or 8 points, because maybe on paper they believe they're that much of a better team, but they can easily be dragged into a dogfight here if they're not mentally 100% in the right place and if Tip have that extra little bit of motivation.
Yeah, and they're both on the right side of the draw, obviously, as well. Tipperary, up to this point, Offaly, Leitrim, Clare, Limerick, all account for, and like none of them are teams that you're going to be having in relation to a conversation about even an Ireland semi-final, really. But obviously a lot of momentum with them, and the manager knows how to deal with derailing bigger opponents as well. And like you said, obviously, in relation to the commemorative jersey and the day that's in it, like there are a lot of little factors here that actually suddenly, when you start to look a bit deeper into it, might suggest that that kind of upset could be on the card. So we'll see how that goes. Are you ultimately, when you say that that's the one you think there might be an upset in, are you thinking that will happen?
I don't think so. I think, listen, if Cork, after beating Kerry, go out and lose to Tip, they'll be absolutely kicking themselves. I think Ronan McCarthy is a very shrewd manager, and enough of their players are there long enough, the likes of Ian Maguire, to, you know, see the pitfalls and basically hopefully not let this happen from their point of view. But I definitely think coming out of that water break, if there's 2 or 3 points in it, a lot of those Cork players who are hunting down Kerry players in the semi-final, if now they're the ones being hunted, will we turn, you know, see how they react to that. If Tip can really bring that fight and that extra little bit of edge to the game, I think it'll go right down to the wire. Again, weather could have a huge impact on it. It's going to be a messy, messy day down in Portcullis. We've seen how that can make everything a bit of a lottery as well.
Yeah.
I think the hurling as well is on there on Saturday. So look, the pitch has been looking really good, but again, if it has a tough hurling game the day before, mightn't be as well able to handle if there's a big downpour on the day on Sunday. So there's just a lot of aspects, and it's just 2020.
Anything could happen. Yeah, I definitely started out this conversation thinking that Cork were going to not quite walk it, but you mentioned 6 or 8 points. And I've had my cough softened a little bit, I have to say, over this conversation, and there might even be a shake for Tip in that. Donegal, Cavan as well, Louise. So obviously, Cavan have had to dig it out against Monaghan and Down. A couple of big scalps, obviously, to have had under their belt. And they're playing a lot of football. Is that the right approach also against Donegal, do you think, or may they need to tweak the game plan?
Yeah, I actually think I worry a little bit for Cavan going into this game, because they've had a tough run in for the last 5 weeks. Like their last two games in the National League against Roscommon and Kildare, they were fighting relegation, so they wouldn't have been taking the foot off the pedal. Then obviously coming back against Monaghan, extra time, next week out against Antrim, next week out against Down, pulling it back. Like talking about the emotional energy that Cork would have had to expend, Cavan, yeah, they're on a bit of a roll, but they've had to like physiologically expend a lot of energy over the last 5 or 6 weeks, and now they're coming up against one of the fittest teams, a team you just find very difficult to outrun and outwork. I actually think this could be a bigger gap than people expect. Obviously, they played in their first Ulster final in a long time last year against Donegal, and I think the scoreline flattered Cavan really in the end. I think it was a lot closer than the game really suggested. So they'll have that extra bit of added experience, a bonus. And I know Mickey Graham said that even the fact that there's, you know, there isn't flags up all over the place, there isn't a big hype because, again, due to COVID, everything is much, much quieter and dampened down, that he thinks that'll help his squad. But I think against Down the last day, they're a bit of heavy legs there, and you don't want to go into an Ulster final against Donegal, who are just seem to be singing all off the same hymn sheet, carrying heavy legs, knowing you've had five tough enough games back to back in the previous 5 weeks. So I actually think I worry for Cavan a little bit here. They certainly can't let Donegal get the run on them that they let Monaghan and Down, because they're gonna take the foot off the pedal. They're not gonna let them back into it. Even if Cavan hadn't done that against Monaghan and Down, I think Donegal would have been too smart and too cute and just too strong defensively as a unit to let them back into the game. So they really need to come out all guns blazing, not let Donegal get that run on them. But at the same time, are they going to have it in the legs and the tank in the last 20, 25 minutes against this team? I just can't see it happening.
How do you wrestle the control away from Donegal in these games, Louise? Because they seem to have everything, and it starts from an unbelievable goalkeeper who's got a ridiculous boot, and whether he's into the Gael or with the Gael at his back, he is dangerous from those positions. It is akin to coming up against an Ulster version of Stephen Cluxton here. Is there a way around this if you have a player group like Cavan, which don't have the star talent that Donegal do?
Yeah, and I mean, you mentioned Sean Patton, obviously. Of course, Raymond Galligan had his own heroics against Monaghan as well, in goals for them. But look, they look so strong, and they look to be able to play dirty, play clean. Like we see against Tyrone and Ballybuffet in a horrible, dirty day, they ground out that win. And they've the likes of Oisín Gallan coming off the bench, kicking superb scores. Then, you know, whether a bit better against Armagh, they can just play a super brand of football. They're just so fluid at attacking forward from the back, and they've such a strong defensive unit. It's going to be quite difficult, Owen. I think Cavan last year in the Ulster final, they more or less sat back a little bit and tried to keep it. I think they wanted like a 10 points to 8 kind of a scoreline at the end of the game. They can't do that this year. So listen, I think with 2020, any manager, especially who's coming up against any sort of underdog situation, just go and attack, just go and play. Same for Meath against Dublin. Like, I don't think you can just hope that you can eke out a tight battle at 10 points to 8. So whether, you know, Ray McGallaghan and his bats and his midfield, they have to look at a kind of a short kick-out strategy to try and win ball, but then you're leaving that Donegal defence set up. Look, they have some big men in there in Garrod McKiernan. Why not put them into maybe the edge of the square and try and bombard early and high and go for goals a la Meath? Because I certainly don't think if they just try and play toe-to-toe with Donegal, I don't think they're going to win. So maybe a little bit of coming out with that same intensity and ferocity that they did in the second half against Down and the second half against Monaghan, and hoping they can get their noses ahead. And then that sheer, I suppose, adrenaline keeps them in it in the second half, when they're probably going to be hanging out of their last legs again. And just hope that Donegal have one of those days that things aren't going too well for them and they're actually behind coming into that third quarter. So maybe if I was Mickey Graham, putting some big men at the edge of the square, and I know it sounds very kind of route one, almost archaic, but look, we're talking about November football. Putting high ball into the square there, we've seen Mayo doing it, Aidan Shea, mightn't be the worst strategy in the world. And someone like Garrod McKiernan, I think he's a big footballer, but he's a very good, skillful footballer as well. Maybe starting the likes of Conor Madden, who's been very impressive off the bench, to buzz around him as well, to pick off a few scores. And then you don't know what kind of a game you're going to be in, but I think that could be a good strategy for Cavan. I don't know, what do you think, Owen?
Yeah, like, I think it's also where they got their penalty from last week as well, from just a little, not a hidden hope ball, it was a free kick that went awry, wasn't it? And it was still a high ball on top of the down square. I know it shouldn't have stood because the Cavan player stood out of play, but it just showed a little bit of chaos that can come from it. And like, I mean, if it is that sort of game where it's low scoring, it could be the sort of thing that wins you a game. I'm with you though on the thing that this could be
Alan Markeen.
Alan Markeen, well, exactly. This could be a bit of a big win as well for Donegal. I think people possibly forget last year's Ulster final, and it seems that Donegal have got better since then as well. That they are perfectly suited to these conditions almost. That if this is in the middle of the summer, you'd give Cavan a better chance almost.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look at them up, that Ballybuffet game against Tyrone, they were so impressive. And fair play to Declan Bonner as well, because I mean, we all looked out at the start in the league games, and we wanted to see form, and he got his win against our own, and then he sent whatever bit of a second team or rested a lot of players that trip down to Tralee, which we now know meant absolutely nothing for Kerry in the end, or didn't help them out. And you know, he had his big guns rested, ready to go against Tyrone, and they've just seemed very almost professional and slick, and that they're ready to play whatever conditions, whatever team comes up against them. That they have a lot of clarity. They still have a lot of skill as well, and a lot of impact off the bench. Like I mentioned, the likes of Oisin Gallen coming on, and even Paddy McBearty. I mean, to think you've that left peg, and you might even be starting him, is just shows their strength and depth as well at the moment. Bringing on the depth of new players every year. Like last year, Jamie Brennan was so impressive. This year, Paddy Morgan, super in that semi-final. So I just can't see Cavan toppling them this weekend. But maybe a bit of route one on a dirty day might be the way to do it.
Yeah, trying to play that Donegal through that Donegal team might not be the smartest thing. We've had a comment in from Kevin Cronin on YouTube, Louise, saying that he thinks that Meath may be able to pull off a shock, which a shock probably represents a loss by anything less than about 12 or 14 points. And just before we wrap, what do you think of the margin of victory here, I presume, is the conversation?
Yeah, look, obviously me, they're coming into it with a confidence. I'd scored 5-8 or that of 5-9 against Kildare was from play, which is very impressive. But a lot of those goals came at the source was a turnover, a sloppy turnover from Kildare, and they just won't get that from Dublin. They have a lot of young players, the likes of Jordan Morris. It's great to find new players coming in every year. They had a good enough year. I know they got relegated from Division 1, but Andy McAtee seems to be doing good stuff with them. But again, I think we're looking at probably an 8 to 10 point swing might be a good result for them. It's just impossible to see this Dublin juggernaut slowing down. Talk about absolute consummate professionals. They just don't care who they're playing against. They have their targets, they have their KPIs almost, and they're looking to hit them off regardless of the opposition. So I think if Meath could stay within 8 points, it would be a good enough result for them. I'm sorry to any Meath fans out there, and I'd be absolutely delighted if they could pull off the shock, but, you know, it'll be shock of the century, I'm afraid. Having said that, I don't see Dublin being unbeaten for the next 3, 4, 5 years. Someone's going to do it. And it could be a day where Dublin are off kilter. You have a team coming in high in confidence, which is Meath. So who knows? We'll all do the lotto if they win it.
Well, it is, as you said earlier, it is 2020, so who knows? But I think we can all expect Dublin win. Louise, thanks a million.
Don't miss a second of the action. Subscribe now to the OTB AM podcast to get it every weekday morning in your podcast feed from 10 a.m.
OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's move.